From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. Coming up, Congress returns to Capitol Hill, but a congressman from New York won't be there. We'll explain why he had to turn himself in on criminal charges.
But first, the NBA has called a news conference for tomorrow to make an announcement about the investigation involving L.A. Clippers owner Donald Sterling. He's being investigated over allegations that he made racist comments in a recorded conversation with his girlfriend. The tape of that conversation was released by TMZ and Deadspin, and on it, the voice said to be Sterling's urges the girlfriend not to bring African Americans to Clippers games.
You could do whatever you want. You could sleep with them, you could bring them in, you could do whatever you want. The little I ask you is not to promote it on that and not to bring them to my games.
Well, the NBA Players Union wants Commissioner Adam Silver to rule before the Clippers host the Golden State Warriors in Game 5 of their playoff series tomorrow night. Before the game yesterday, Clippers players staged a silent protest.
Entering the court for pregame warmups, a unified statement from the Clipper players wearing their warmup shirts inside out so the word Clippers are not across their chests.
Kevin Arnovitz is NBA editor for ESPN.com. He joins us from KPCC in Pasadena. And Kevin, first of all, are there still doubts that it is indeed Sterling on that tape?
They're not sincere doubts. However, as you mentioned, the league really has to exercise caution. Sterling is a famously litigious guy. If they decide to take sanctions on Sterling based on tapes that aren't authenticated, they could be facing a civil suit. So while there's really no question, and frankly, Sterling hasn't denied that it's his voice, they do have to proceed with caution on that end.
Well, what can they do? Let's say that they discover that it in fact is his voice, or they determine that it is his voice. What can they do? Can they force him to sell the team?
They can't force him to sell the team, and that's the rub. They can issue several sanctions. They can fine him a very large amount, several million dollars possibly. They can suspend him indefinitely from day-to-day operations. But at the end of the day, this is his private property, and you talk around the league, and pretty much everybody in a position of authority says, look, there's very little they can do in terms of forcing his hand in terms of a sale.
When you say suspend him from day-to-day operations, that would mean that he would not be able to go to his own games.
He would not be able to go to his own games. He might even lose his seat on the Board of Governors. The problem here is that the constitution of the NBA that governs the league is a top-secret document, as absurd as it sounds. Also problematic for Adam Silver, the new commissioner, because he has made transparency one of the cornerstones of his new administration. He was installed in February. But at the end of the day, this is a league still governed by a commissioner who is employed by 30 owners, including Donald Sterling, and whose rules are essentially clandestine.
Well, there has been just this has been an earthquake in the NBA world and really just across the news media over the weekend, especially. Let's listen to some of the reaction that's come in after these comments on tape came out. This is from Magic Johnson, who was mentioned on the tape. He was speaking on ESPN yesterday. Let's listen.
He shouldn't own a team anymore. And he should stand up and say, I don't want to own a team anymore, especially when you have African-Americans renting his apartments, coming to the games and playing for him and coaching for him.
And here is President Obama, who has been in Asia. He was asked about this in Malaysia.
We've made enormous strides, but you know, you're going to continue to see this percolate up every so often. And I think that we just have to be clear and steady in denouncing it, teaching our children differently.
Kevin Arnovitz, many people say they were not surprised by these comments. You've been covering the Clippers for years. Were you surprised?
No, he has an almost clownish history of these kinds of remarks. He was named in a civil suit about 10 years ago. Alleged that he didn't want to rent to African Americans in Los Angeles because they, you know, attracted vermin, was what the deposition said. Latinos, he didn't want to rent to. It was one of the record-setting settlements to settle that case. So he has a long history, and there are anecdotes to the league that are very unsavory. Players will tell you stories, half in jest, half in sadness, about interactions they've had with him as African-American basketball players. And, you know, that this weekend is really where he went from a person of absurdity to real evil in the eyes of many of these players.
we had you on recently. We were talking about gay players in the NBA, something that the NBA is now starting to deal with Jason Collins. But what does this say about where the NBA is, this current problem?
You know, the NBA is sad today, and I think largely because it regards itself as a league that has really been on the forefront. Look, it's not perfect, but while the NFL still has to rely on the Rooney Rule to make sure that African Americans get a proper look in hiring processes, virtually half of the NBA's head coaches are African American. They're African Americans in various positions of leadership across the league. They're still, in terms of ownership, they have a long way to go. They have two minority owners, you know, Michael Jordan and Charlotte among them, but it's seen as a league that demographically, their fan base looks a lot more like America than any other sport. Globally, the fan base looks a lot more like the world. So one of the sadnesses, in addition to the fact that groups of people were dehumanized by Sterling's comment, is the fact that it's a momentum breaker for a league that is really in a triumphant moment, that has wonderfully relatable superstars, that's doing very well financially, that has been, again, on the cutting edge of diversity. Again, a long way to go, but a league that's very proud of what it's done in this area.
And now the issue is that the Clippers have to go and play the next game in the playoffs. How difficult is that going to be for them?
I texted with one member of the team, you know, who said that at this point they're pretty much done with their dissent, or any really vocal dissent, that it's just far too much to manage dissent when you're actually also trying to win a very competitive playoff series against a good opponent in the Golden State Warriors, who beat them soundly yesterday by 20 points in Oakland. So, you know, it's a real struggle for these guys, and, you know, and it was reflected.
Kevin Arnovitz, NBA editor for ESPN.com. Kevin, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.